We are going through the book of Acts and kind of the highlights of the book of Acts. And today we are going to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And last time we saw that Judas was replaced by Matthias. And the question I have is, when Apostle James, he was martyred, if you look in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and it says here, "Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched out his hand to harass some of from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Here we see Apostle James, that is son of Zebedee, he was martyred. Why was he not replaced? Why was only Judas was replaced by Matthias? Why did they not replace James? I'm going to answer the question also. The answer is Judas was a false apostle. A faithful apostle replaced a false apostle. But when James died, or when all the other apostles died, nobody replaced them because their generation came to an end. So if you keep on replacing apostles, we'll be replacing them today too. There are some churches that believe that. Apostolic age came to an end. And we saw the qualifications for an apostle last time. A person who has been with Jesus, who has seen Jesus, who has seen the resurrection of Jesus. And we saw Apostle Paul was qualified because he saw Jesus. We are going to come later on, not today, on another day, a full view of Apostle Paul. This is going to be really, really bless us. Now, a little background here. We see ministry of Jesus after the resurrection. If you go to Acts chapter 1, we see the ministry of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, has given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here we see that Jesus, he began to teach and minister for how many days? 40 days about the kingdom of God. Now, one thing we need to remember, where was the ministry of Jesus? Well, in what part did he, where did he originate his ministry after the resurrection? Or where was his ministry, what location? You know, some people may say Jerusalem or wherever. But let me tell you, after the resurrection of Jesus, his ministry was from heaven. Okay? That was his location. But when Jesus really went up to heaven in ascension, that is for the apostles to see the reality of resurrection. Now, he was talking about the kingdom of God for 40 days. Kingdom of God is God reigning in us. In a kingdom, you have a king. In the kingdom, you have a king, and the king is ruling in that kingdom. So, in the kingdom of God, now God is going to reign our life, rule our life. And that happens when God the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Okay? Now, coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus prophesied of coming of the Spirit. Let's see Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. When did they hear from Jesus of the promise of the Spirit? It has to be before. We are going to see that. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, where did Jesus remind them of the Holy Spirit? If you turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. John 14. John 14, 16 to 17. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's very careful to see that. He is going to be with you, but will be. That means in the future, he is going to be in you. You understand? In the future, he is going to be in you. And also you see this in John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. All right. Now, that we are going to see a very difficult scripture, but I don't want to pass by. I don't want to just ignore it. You have to face it straight. If you turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 22. John chapter 20, verse 20. John 20, 22. And here, Jesus, after the resurrection, okay, the Holy Spirit has not come yet. But after the resurrection, Jesus said, verse 20, when he said to this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is this. What is the connection between John chapter 10, verse 22, and Acts chapter 2, and the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit? What's the connection? Or is there a connection? Or is there a contradiction here? Is there a difference here? How do you relate these two together? Am I speaking fast, or you can understand? Understand? Okay. If I'm talking fast, just tell me, slow down. Talk slowly. Okay. Now, John chapter 20, verse 22, I'm going to give you the answer. John chapter 20, verse 22 is an anticipation of Acts chapter 2. What is an anticipation? Anticipation means it's like a foretaste of Acts chapter 2. Let me give an example. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, right? Raising Lazarus from the dead is an anticipation or a foretaste of raising of Jesus. So it's like John chapter 20 verse 22 is a taste of what is really going to happen on Acts chapter 2. It's like a down payment for Acts chapter 2. So also John chapter 20 verse 22 was private, only for the disciples. It was private. But in Acts chapter 2, it was made public. All right? That's the answer. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, we see John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Who is the baptizer here? We are not talking water baptism. We are talking here the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who is the baptizer? The answer is Luke chapter 3 verse 16. Luke chapter 3 verse 16 says, this is John the Baptist saying, John answered, saying to you, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, that is Jesus, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See that? Who is the baptizer? Jesus is the baptizer. And he is going to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. What do you mean by fire here? Fire is always is a refining, a cleansing work, a purging work. Jesus is the baptizer, and the Spirit is the agent or the means of baptism. All right? Now, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose? See, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But when you shall receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The purpose of giving of the Holy Spirit, that is the pouring of the outpouring of the Spirit, is to be witnesses. See, it's very clear. You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Starting where? Jerusalem. Starting in our location, where? In Lactan, in Kodra, Ilang, I don't know the other places, in Tabunok, okay? Then other parts of Cebu, then to the ends of the earth. That's what he's saying there. Now, to be witnesses, to whom? To Jesus. The Greek word for witness is the English word martyr, to be martyred. It's going to stop. That's what they wanted. I don't know. It's up to them, I said. It's up. No, I told. Lady, they had to make the decision. I don't want to make a decision. I want them to make a decision. It's up to them. If they want 1,000, they can have 1,000.
1,000 alternate, that's the way, don't change.
No. Leti, I want them to do it. I will tell again. It's up to you guys.
They're shy because they know that the hay, we don't have
money. No, one, 500 for two people.
Every week?
Leti, every month we are giving 1,000 to them. Okay? 500 will go to one person, another 500 to another person. So two people will get.
Every month.
Yeah. That's what they wanted. And Myrna said even 200 is big for them.
I believe
We are giving 1,000. It will be shared.
No, what I said, why it's the same?
Yeah,
what
it's
I
the
said
same.
Is 1,000 every month in different kids.
Mm-hmm.
Different kids, mm-hmm. 1,000.
Yeah.
So if you want to give 500, because 500, that's very small.
You're getting deep here. I had to stop from here because it's too long. Yeah. Yeah, I want to finish soon. We need to really pray for the internet so it will not happen. Where did I stop? I'm going to finish very soon, okay? So I know we started late. So we will continue next week. So I think I finished where the word witness means martyr, the Greek word martyr. It means a person who willingly undergoes suffering and death. Today it is sad when it comes to speaking of one's testimony, the focus is on the person rather than Jesus Christ. The heart of witness is Jesus Christ. The purpose of the outpouring spirit is to be a witness to Christ. Jesus, that is the goal and the more main focus of Christian, that is to witness of Christ. So if when God comes to us and fills us with the Holy Spirit, the focus and the main goal is that we become a witness to somebody else. It does not say, the Bible does not say, or Jesus did not say, but you shall receive money when the Holy Spirit come upon you. He never said that. He said, you shall receive power. Today, many churches and pastors, their focus is on money. Without money, you cannot evangelize. But the apostles were not rich. They were poor. Yet, they trusted in God's power alone. They preached the gospel without computers, without high technology, without microphones. They didn't have cars, absolutely nothing. But the gospel went all over the Roman Empire. That is the power of God. That's what we need to trust in. The word power in Greek is what? Dunamis. The word dynamite come from that word dunamis. That's why the word of God, Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, you don't have to turn. He said, I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of God because it is the power of salvation, first to the Jew and to the Gentiles. The apostles, they relied on the power of God to witness and to evangelize because God's power can break the heart of stone in a man, even the most wicked man. So I'm going to stop there and we are going to continue next week. But just want to let you know that we as a church, we need to be united in one. We need to love one another. We need to ask the Lord to fill us with the power of God's Spirit. even if we bring one person once a year, even just, let's say once a month, if we bring one person, next month this church will be double. But let's say even if you can bring one person a year, if that's not hard to do, you can pray. First thing is to pray, and we are going to learn a lot about prayer next time. And once we pray, the Lord will provide us. We need to trust in God. We can bring one person to church. Just imagine, God told us to make disciples. One day, when you go to heaven, God is going to, you know, you can tell God, I made a good, at least I made so many disciples, or I witnessed to so many people. That's going to be a blessing. Or how if you just go, just by the very grace of God, you go to heaven, and you know, your rewards, you will not get any rewards in heaven. But you will still go to heaven, but no rewards. Because in heaven, you're going to get rewards for the work you have done. I want rewards, because that's eternity. Just imagine, once you go to heaven and you don't have rewards and you just are in heaven, oh my goodness, you missed it. So, we need to trust in the power of God, okay? And pray, and we are going to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. What does it mean by speaking in tongues? We are going to see all that. And we are going to see many of these things, and a lot of things are going to be unveiled, and we are going to understand that. But as Christians now, we need to first pray. That's what Jesus told the apostles. First starts in prayer, then your life is going to be changed. If there's going to be a revival, first your life has to be revived. Then that's going to affect other people around you. Okay? So don't feel shy to talk about Christ to others. Don't ever feel shy. Because if He died for you and gave His life, and Christ did not know anything about suffering, He did not know what is sin, He never went through suffering, He did not know anything about pain, but He went through all that for you. God Himself, who did not know about suffering and pain and agony, He went through for you, and He died on the cross and went through the wrath on your behalf and gave you eternal life and told you one day when you die, you're going to be in heaven forever and ever. You don't have to work anymore. You don't have to go to school anymore. In heaven. Paradise that is given by Christ for you as a gift. What will you do now on this earth? Thank Him, glorify Him, be obedient to Him. That's what God wants. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for this time You have given us. We ask, Lord, that we would be obedient children to the great work what Christ have done for us. We ask, Lord, that You would fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that You would give us a thirst and a hunger for Your word, and that we would love one another, that we would edify one another, and bring humility to the body, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we would care for one another, and Lord, above all, Lord, that we would care for the outsiders. We would reach out for them and witness to them. And that You would put Your words in our mouth. Father, You be glorified and magnified. Also, we pray for J.R. Lord, and for Christian and Marlene, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, You would speak to them, Lord, to their hearts, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would change their minds, Lord, and that they would be humble before You, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would take control of their lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, that one day that J.R. would truly change his mind, Lord, and that he will go back to his own ways, and that one day there will be some peace, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you be glorified and magnified, that you would take control of this church, Lord. This is your church. Christ purchased this church with his own precious blood. We all fall at the feet of Jesus, and we humbly submit to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's stand and let's sing one hymn, and then we can, you guys can discuss about the scholarship and whatever you want.